All right. Well, gonna move on here, and we are totally privileged to have an ACB report here from Scott Thornhill. I don't want to go too much into this, but we talked about convention experiences. I will recommend the DC Leadership, or I guess it's called the ACB Leadership Conference now, which usually happens in February or March. That's a whole nother experience, but that's where I met Scott a year ago, 2024. He'd been on the job for a few weeks, and it was trial by fire for him. I was uncertain. I was like, who is this new guy they brought in as executive director? And that uncertainty lasted about 90 seconds until he started talking, and he really proved to us, at least to me that weekend, that he was one of us. And he's been with us for more than a year now, and to say full speed ahead is an understatement. There's lots going on. So, Scott, thank you for joining us. And one thing I want to mention, I forgot to mention earlier, is throughout the day, as our presenters, we'll, of course, have time for questions from Zoom. If you'd rather email your question, Rob is here, and he will be checking ask@ccbnet.org. That's ask@ccbnet.org. And if you'd rather email your questions for our various presenters, that's what you can do. Scott Thornhill, Executive Director of ACB, thanks for joining us this morning, or this afternoon, I guess, for you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. So hello to all my California Council friends. And I want to let you know up front, I am in a moving vehicle. So if I fade in and out, I hope not, but if I do, I promise I'm still around. So, and it's not an autonomous vehicle and I am not driving, so we're good. It's an honor to be here and I appreciate the invitation and happy to give a update on a few of the things going on at ACB. It'd be very challenging to give a comprehensive update since there are so many moving parts. I'm still After a year, I still learn something new, probably, once a week or at least a couple times a month, where I'm like, oh, we do that. Okay. How long have we done that? This long. But why are we still doing that? Or why are we not? So it's still a much of a learning process for me, but it is an honor to be here. So let me just give a brief overview on a few of the different things we're doing and then some of the things that I've been doing myself recently, because occasionally based on Facebook or something else, people will ask me questions or, oh, I saw you were traveling and what's up with this or that. And so I can touch on a few of those items as well, because there are some very exciting things going on. Under the advocacy side, which I know you'll hear more about from others later on, but on the advocacy side of things, we are staying busy in the Washington area with federal government items happening. And so we are continuing our legislative imperatives, which were spoken about at that DC Leadership Conference. As you noted, so we're continuing to work on those items. Those tend to be sort of long-term or at least intermediate goals and those legislative imperatives. So we don't want to stop working on those. We had some questions around DC leadership about whether or not we should not focus on those and simply talk about sort of the current environment or exactly what the path forward would be. And we made a real conscious decision to say yes and on that, is that yes, we understand some people are apprehensive or have had some there are some lots of feelings, lots of opinions about things, and we acknowledge that and we understand that. We want to hear that. We also look at that long picture, the big picture of what are those legislative imperatives that we've been asking for that we're still going to continue to fight for and move ahead with on coalitions. And these take sometimes several years. So what we don't want to do is leave them behind and then have to start over with education and all of that and rebuilding the coalition some period of time down the road. So it's a comprehensive effort from that standpoint for us. And so we're tracking, of course, things going on with the Department of Education and HHS and other items. I do tell people this often is that we will never get information out to you as quickly as another member of ACB will get it to you from some source on one of our email lists. Let me just make that promise. We will never get it out that quickly. And the reason is that we really do, and I work with Claire Stanley a lot on this, we want to be very factual in what we put out. We're doing our best not to really put out sort of personal feelings about things. if we have an opinion from an ACB standpoint about what the impact may be of something, we certainly will share that. But we want to be very careful about what we share, because we do understand that people will take information and share it with others. And we certainly don't want anything with our name on it to be found to be sort of speculative in nature. So I hope everyone understands that process. But I joke about it because I'll get told about something three times before, you know, Claire and I can really put it together how we want to send it out to the membership. So, and I certainly think people understand why that is, that we're being so deliberate about that process. So a lot happening there, certainly in the states as it relates to the libraries, as it relates to still some voting elements in various places. We've got our ear to the ground on that. I will say, hearing Artis just before coming on, and just so Artis knows, I would always wait for Artis to speak before I would ever come on to speak. I appreciate her work, and I had an honor. It was an honor to be at Sagebrush with the Randolph Shepherd vendors a little bit ago. And I will say we had a scare in Tennessee regarding Randolph Shepherd, and there are some other states considering the same. So we have the federal Randolph Shepherd legislation around the vendors and blind preference there. And then the states have what many refer to as the mini Randolph Shepherds, MINI, right? Meaning the small Randolph Shepherds. And from a state standpoint, so having facilities in state buildings or municipalities. And so some of the states, a couple that we've heard of, and Tennessee was one of them, had considered sort of doing away with that state preference. And thankfully it didn't happen in Tennessee, but we know that Illinois was considering it and maybe one or two others. And so we do like to be updated. So if anyone has information from California, or if you're in another state and you hear of something going on, please let us know. Just email advocacy@acb.org and let us know, because it is very challenging to obviously to keep up with 50 states plus the federal government plus what municipalities may be doing. So, but that's the advocacy front. We continue to just, that's a never ending process and one that frankly Claire enjoys tremendously. I joke with her about how long things take, and she said, "Oh, I just love the chug of government." And I was like, I don't know many people that would say that. I want things to happen. I want them to happen now, but this doesn't work that way a lot of the time. We started a new program area, our accessibility and training services area, which Colby Garrison leads that. She's our accessibility and training services coordinator, doing a tremendous job. And so in that area, we have a new partnership with the NFL, which many of you may have heard about. And so the National Football League. So we're working with them on their digital assets, on websites, also working with them on in-person experiences, and what that is like for people who are blind or with low vision. So they're looking for good feedback from us on that. And you'll see more information or have more information coming about that in our various publications. But we are truly honored and just really excited about the partnership with such an iconic brand like the NFL. And in that same department, we're working with entities on making sure that their websites are working the way they're supposed to, that they're accessible. And also, if as a member, or even if you're not a member, but you have an issue happening, please email accessibility@acb.org. So what we're doing is we have members or others that are contacting us and saying, "Hey, this app is not working the way that it should, or the way that it used to, or this website or this product that I got is not, you know, as advertised," or whatever it might be. And I can't use it as someone who is blind or with low vision. And so then Colby is tracking that down, going to the company and saying, "And we have a member, or we have someone in the blindness community who's struggling with this, and we need more information." And sometimes, frankly, we find out that it's a little bit of user training or knowledge that needs to happen, that the individual just needs to understand a little bit better about apps or about how to do something. But many other times we're finding out that it truly is an issue with an app or a website or a product itself. And then we can pursue that and help individuals get that solved. Because if it's happening to you, it's probably happening to many others who aren't speaking up. And so please email that accessibility@acb.org email address. I will also say, and I under the advocacy and the accessibility and training services, but really under advocacy, we've managed to have a couple of great interns from the University of California system. So thank you, California, for sending us terrific interns. They have a program called UCDC, which is the University of California, obviously in DC. And so they actually have a dorm and a classroom facility in the district where individuals who are selected from the various California universities come and do an internship. And so the way that the California system works, there are quarters, not really semesters per se. And so we had someone for the winter quarter, and now we have Kyla, and now we have Mia for the spring quarter. And so we hope that relationship will continue because they're doing tremendous work for us and helping Claire with things, helping Colby with things, and really just real assets to our team. Beyond that, as we get into ACB Media, and many of you know, of course, about what's happening with our 10 streaming channels, and we're getting a lot of infrastructure work done, which is not terribly exciting to talk about. And frankly, if I were to try to talk about it, I guarantee you I'd get something wrong. So I'm not even going to go deep into that. But we're working on the infrastructure so that ACB Media, ACB as a whole, will be around for many, many decades to come, and we'll have the foundation there to handle whatever needs to be done. And so it's not necessarily things, these are not things you're going to maybe notice right away, but they're important. It's kind of like with a house, right? You may get like a new roof, or you get some work done on making sure you don't have, you know, moisture in your crawl space or something, right? But it's not nearly as exciting as redoing a bathroom or a kitchen or something that people are really going to notice. So that's sort of where we are with this, is just making sure that we're good on that infrastructure moving forward for a long time. And hand in hand with that is some scheduling, some new scheduling abilities that will happen for ACB Media related to community, which moves me over into our membership engagement and member services. And community events platform is obviously going strong. And oh, by the convention, I haven't gotten the most recent update on the calculation of what we think it'll be, but near the convention will be around 25,000 community events since 2020, which is obviously just an incredible number. Talk about lemonade out of lemons. Came from something that people just wondered, how in the world are we going to navigate this and do this? And out of it came community events platform, and realizing that so many people who are blind or with low vision are isolated. And the fact that on Thanksgiving and on some other holidays, we have an amazing crowd in community just tells us that there are those out there who are just truly enjoying having this community to be a part of and to support them, and not have to be alone or, you know, endure something that really should be a joyous time. So we're really excited about the future and the potential of what community can do. And it wouldn't happen without all the volunteers, without all the people that are streaming and hosting and moderating, all the different things that people do. So I just want to say thank you to each and every person who takes their time to support the effort around community. And so, you know, gosh, and here I am, I've talked for however long, and I've talked about these things, and then there's so much more that we can get into. I haven't even started talking about the audio description project, right? And we've got the gala coming up in November, November the 13th. And so those awards are being looked at. And of course, the People's Choice Award, you'll have an opportunity to vote on that. But I do want to get to convention, of course. So our convention will be, the virtual portion will begin June the 23rd. And so that'll be a full week of virtual. Then we have what some people like to call that we don't have a convention week, the week of the 30th. I don't buy into that because there's voting on the 30th. We'll have a board meeting on the 4th, and many of us are traveling in between. So I don't call that a week off. So in my opinion, we basically have 3 weeks of convention, because the board meeting on the 4th, and we'll go from the 4th through the 11th of July in Dallas at the Hyatt there, and it is going to be incredible. We have our programming is just off the charts. It is so good. Our sponsors that are with us, many will be there in person and supporting us. The exhibit hall is going to be amazing with products and services for people to check out. The Blinded Veterans will be with us again for the second year, so BVA will be joining us again, and just a powerful partnership there, It's really going to be an amazing time to be together. The tours that are being lined up, my goodness, I was listening to the stories of people and their tours from previous conventions. I can tell you won't be disappointed by the tours that are going to be available on this one. I'm told there's even going to be a tour of my beloved Dallas Cowboys stadium, AT&T Stadium. So that there will be a tour there. And despite how those Cowboys are playing of recent, it should still be an incredible tour with the artwork and all the things there at the stadium. And Envision Dallas, which is a facility there that works with people who are blind or with low vision. They just built a new facility that's incredible. And there's a boat tour. I mean, so many things happen. So May 15th, registration for members will open up May the 15th. And so get in there early. Great rate at the hotel, $99 a night. I don't know where you can stay for $99 a night these days, except for our convention. So be there. Don't miss it. It really is going to be a great time. And then I wanted to talk just briefly about some of the things that I've just this past week, for example. I flew out to from the North Carolina area out to Phoenix for the Vision Serve Alliance conference, which was held in the Scottsdale area, actually in Paradise Valley. I mean, how much better in Paradise Valley? But it was a wonderful time of networking. And whenever I attend these events, it truly, people are like, oh, you know, you. And I'm like, no, I'm representing ACB, and I'm there for how can we move our organization forward. And the people that I get to meet and network with, and the opportunities that come about, whether it's a new sponsor or it's a new employment opportunity that we can talk about, it truly is a terrific time to make those connections. And so I always encourage our staff as well, when they go to these events, that those relationships are where so much is done. I'm a firm believer that relationships in every aspect of life are really the key to so many things. So spent some time in that area with that Vision Serve Alliance and got to meet many new folks, and then also reconnect with others and firm up some things, and worked on some additional sponsorships, which is what I do a lot of spend a lot of time on, just to be blunt. But also got to engage in facilitating a group around leveraging evidence-based data and research. And so how do we make sure that we have the data that we need to really understand the needs of individuals in our community? And so we don't really have the data that some other, let's say, communities have because of being in that medical system and things being supported by whether it's, you know, Medicare or other entities, and a lot of research being done. And we don't have that level of research that we need. And so there are organizations working on that. Then I went from Phoenix to Orlando on Thursday and spent one night there because Comcast NBC Universal, the conglomerate, but basically Comcast, invited ACB. We were one of three nonprofit organizations that got invited to be at this event, which was just yesterday. They are opening a new theme park called Epic Universe. That is the Universal's new theme park. And so they had a soft launch, so we got to walk around and check out various things. But it was about the accessibility. It was about the innovation, the things that they're doing, and what the feedback we could give to help make things even better moving forward. And they'll officially open May the 22nd. But I again got to make connections and build new relationships with other nonprofits from different groups, affinity groups, in terms of disability, things like that, but all heading towards the same thing, which is that full inclusion and accessibility for individuals. And I, of course, couldn't help but make the pun that, you know, we were looking for universal design, right? So we want everything to be open to everybody, and it just so happened that it's at a universal facility. But it, you know, how do we make it so that these things are things that the entire public would enjoy, but yet they are also helping us with accessibility? So, of course, that's similar to what we talk about, the curb cutouts or voice texting and things like that. So, but similar things, but within a theme park. What can you do so that the app, which they want so many of their things to be done through their mobile application. And so, of course, we have to make sure that's accessible and that it has audio description for various things. And we have some really cool new partnerships on audio description, which is part of that accessibility and training services area as well. But some of that information will be coming out soon. And just really excited about those opportunities that we have. And our membership numbers are up. And I would just encourage you, if you know someone, or even if you know someone who knows someone who is experiencing some challenges with their vision, Don't hesitate to tell them about ACB, and let's get them connected. Let's get them in through the affiliates, and let's get them, you know, connected. Because I said at my first convention, I'll say it again, you know, we roughly around that 8,000 member number. And I talked about being at 12,000 in 3 years, and people, I think, thought I was probably a little crazy. But if all of us ask one person, you know, to join us at an event or that sort of thing, and only half of them like us, that might be 4,000 new members. And there we're looking at 12,000 people. And it's not just to achieve a number, but it's the lives that are impacted. Because when you look at the community events platform, you look at audio description, you look at employment, you look at these other relationships and these other program areas that we've got in place, lives are truly being changed. Now, I don't want to say, you know, we're changing lives, because that's a bit too self-focused, but I will say that lives are being changed. And that's not an exaggeration, because we hear stories often about how people were in a very dark place, and then they got connected, they felt supported, and they just feel so different today. Or they didn't have a job and they learned through community and now they have a job, or they joined a chapter and got to meet other people that were going through the same thing they were going through. And now they realize that there is a future for them when they didn't think there was. So don't underestimate in any way the impact you can have on others. And again, I want to say thank you. I appreciate California so much. I look forward to visiting and getting to meet many of you in person. And hopefully I will meet you at the convention. So please come up and say hello. And I'm the big guy with the gray hair and you know, the loud voice sometimes. And so if somebody can point you out to me if you're not able to locate me. So, but I'm happy to answer some questions if we have any.
Okay. Well, boy, I am tired just listening to that. It's got too much going on. This is crazy. But yes, if you have any questions.
We do.
Okay. Then remind people again, of course, we take raised hands here. Marianne will call on you. And if you'd rather email your question, you can email to ask@ccbnet.org. ask@ccbnet.org. Marianne, who we got in the room?
We have
first?
Sheila. Go ahead.
Hi there. I'm Sheila Gunn, and the question I have, hi, Scott. It's good to meet you, if only virtually at the beginning here. I don't think I can get out to this convention, but I will basically be virtual and enjoy. Anyway, I'm raising my hand because, you know, Pope Francis died, and there was this funeral for him, and the ACB community was good enough to tell us that there would be audio description. However, I do not own ATV. I am not interested in owning ATV. I am totally blind, and it doesn't do any good. So I was trying to get to the CBS something so that I could watch this thing.
Okay.
And I tried to do it online. Their media player is terrible. I use an Android. Okay. And I use TalkBack. And my frustration was there was not a clear-cut way for me to find an audio channel if I didn't have a TV. And to be honest, most people don't have TVs anymore. I don't have very many paid subscriptions. I don't have any paid subscriptions, unless you call Amazon Prime a paid subscription to something. Yeah. And I really wanted to see that, and I wanted to get more feedback. And yeah. I couldn't, and I was really frustrated. I even tried with Ira to see if they could find stuff. We found a BBC thing where things were translated, but that's not the same.
Yeah.
And I was frustrated that the only way you could get it is through a TV set.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah. So no, could we please do better in the future?
Yeah, I don't know what we you know, we can certainly get with, you know, CBS or with someone and talk to them about, you know, what they have available. Some of it, there are obviously rights involved. And so in terms of us carrying something or trying to do something ourselves, that we have a good relationship with NBC in that regard, with a number of things that we've done there. But that's a great suggestion on working with others as well and kind of seeing what we can find that might work, you know, for those who don't have a television set, as you said, in order to access that. So I'll talk with our team, the team, and see what we can find out.
Okay. Next hand.
We have Andrea. Go ahead, Andrea.
I just want to shout out to Scott as my fellow auction bidder. You are certainly a worthy opponent. And I, that was my first exposure to Scott, was hearing him. He's right in there. I'm so sorry. My phone will not shut up. Just in there bidding. And I really appreciate the fact that you were visible as just another bidder at an auction, because I think sometimes the upper echelon, let's say, doesn't, you know, they're not as involved maybe right on that level. And I really, my hat's off to you in terms of being right in there bidding against.
And well, I appreciate it.
The other thing, just darn it. The other thing just quickly is that I'm really happy to have someone again who's so active. No matter what our political stripe is, in this time there's a lot of uncertainty. Yeah. A lot of things are being cut. It seems to some of us that some of those things are kind of arbitrary. My job is very heavily funded by Department of Education funding.
Yeah.
So there are, my employer is trying desperately to make sure we have the most current information available. They're right. Actually holding a town hall for their employees, which is wonderful. But I'm in there teaching blind folks to use technology.
Yeah.
And I really feel that this job is important. It's getting people out into the workforce. And I just really appreciate the fact that you're out there along with Colby and Claire and other fine people.
Yeah.
I also volunteer for community, so that's another thing. But I really appreciate that you're out there as a visible presence and helping us. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. It's a joy. I probably do too much on those auctions. My wife, she does like the gift cards, but I might do a little too much on the auctions. I should back off a few times and let, you know, not buy so many things. But thank you.
Okay. Let's ask Rob, do we have any questions coming into our email box?
Not so far, Steve.
Okay, and more hands.
Okay, we have Deborah Armstrong. Go ahead, Deborah.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Excellent. So I have both a comment and a question. And my comment is, I love the advocacy podcast, but I've noticed that there's a lot of emphasis on what we're doing for you rather than what you are doing for us. And I'd like to see ACB community and the advocacy people get together and do an advocacy series where 1 week there's a community call on how to be an effective advocate on the national level, another call on how to be an effective advocate on the state level, and another call on how to be an effective advocate on the local level. And yes, I know you have the leadership conference, but there are a lot of blind people who are sitting at home who have just a telephone who could be more effective advocating. And there are people like me who work and can't get to the DC leadership conference. So let's have a series of community calls to get more people involved.
Okay.
That's my comment. And my question is more general. I'm really curious. The board makes a lot of decisions for ACB, but the executive director also makes a lot of decisions. How is that work divided up? If you could speak to that in general, and I'll go back on mute.
Okay. But that's a very good question, a very interesting question. And a hard one to answer, just to be transparent. So the board is the governing body of the American Council of the Blind, elected by the membership, to make obviously, certain decisions. So for example, the budget that's done is approved by the board. However, it is put together, initially, by Nancy Marks Becker, our CFO, and me, but we also get input from the board, from Deb Cook Lewis, for example, in this case, and, you know, initially to make sure that we're not, something's not totally off track here that's going to be a problem. And then we actually meet with the budget committee of the board prior to then presenting the final budget after they have time to review it. It's presented at a meeting for a vote. And so it has to be approved by the board, but obviously it has a staff level of input, and we work hand in hand in that regard. The day-to-day decisions of ACB are typically ones that the executive director would make. So, for example, putting out a statement about a particular issue or something along those lines, I would work with Claire if it was an advocacy item. If it had to do with something else, then I would work with Hannah Park, who's our communications coordinator, Mike Johnson, who's our communications consultant, and then Sharon Lovering, who puts out the press releases. So we would work together as a team and make sure we had whatever statement we needed to do. Now, I may run that, you know, by Deb or may not, depending on the situation and what it is. But the executive director and the staff run the day-to-day operations. But then the bigger decisions that talk about the governing of the organization, like obviously, you know, anytime you get to like changing the constitution or bylaws, right, that's going to go in front of the membership or the resolutions. Now, the resolutions actually are a great example of one thing that doesn't even, it involves the board to an extent, but not so much, right? That's the membership voting on something that then has to be carried out for the most part by the staff, even though the board can also be involved in carrying out something from a resolution. So it's one of those things where you have to have a good working relationship, but it's not necessarily a black and white all the time in terms of, you know, this is the board, this is the executive director, you know, that kind of thing. So we work well together, and believe me, I'm careful. I may push the envelope once in a while, but I'm very careful, and I know who my boss is, the board. So I make sure that, you know, before I step out and say something that is potentially going to be controversial or whatever it might be, that there is support there, you know, from the board standpoint. So.
All right. Rob, I'm sorry, my Zoom cut out. I didn't mean to step over, talk over you, Scott. I'm sorry. Tony, if we have any questions.
No,
coming
I was just
in?
Saying, I hope that answers the question. Yeah.
Okay, great. We have any email questions, Rob?
No, not so far.
Okay.
We have area code 650. Go ahead.
That's me, Roger Peterson. I had a response, kind of a response to Sheila Gunn's question. I actually have two TV sets, which is two more than none. And I was really interested in hearing the audio description of the Pope's funeral. And I found that I couldn't separate the audio description from the narration on the TV, which I thought was they were frankly shooting the poop, if you want to know, just two people talking to each other. And they were covering up the audio description. I really hope that someday in the world we'll have audio description that we can separate from the normal TV channel. And I don't know how possible. Thank you.
Absolutely.
You're a little wavy.
Right now, I would say that that is something that we're shooting for. One of the issues that we have is, I say we, but it's not really ACB per se, but it's the technology realm. So most of us currently would get audio description through that SAP, that alternative programming, which also often carries Spanish language. And so that's why we had success. One of the reasons we've had success with NBC is because, you know, for the Olympics or whatever it might be, they're able to use Telemundo for Spanish language, and they're able to use another one of their channels for something else. And so that SAP or that alternative programming is not quite as important. But there is sometimes it's a decision for these networks. Like, do we go with Spanish or do we go with audio description on that second feed? From a market standpoint, just to be blunt, Spanish often wins that decision-making process. And so ultimately moving forward, the new technology, and we're hopeful this is what will be done, we'll have more of these particular alternative programming options. Now, whether or not we will be able to only have audio description and not have the actual, let's say, broadcasters of an event, I don't know where that stands, because most of these stations are obviously going to probably want to have their people still being heard. So, but we'll keep working at that.
Okay. Next question.
Edward's iPad. Edward, go ahead.
Just Christy, go ahead.
Hi. So, thank you very much for being here today. I have a question about, I know ACB Board has a program where they have like a mentoring program to the affiliates, right, and chapters who choose it. And also, I want to know a little bit about that and how California can access that help. And also, I want to ask you about the assistance that ACB might be able to offer California with its suspension of its nonprofit.
Yeah. So on the first one, so Cindy Hollis works on that program, the liaison program. Cindy works on that. And so the best way would be for someone to reach out, Guillermo or whoever it might be, to reach out to Cindy, and it's C Hollis, H-O-L-L-I-S at acb.org. So the screen reader says Chalice, but it's
I just want you to know, Christy, that is being worked on. So
thank you so much.
Yeah. And so that program is great. And, you know, depending on the board member and the relationship and all of that. So it's very helpful. On the 501c3 status, first of all, let me give a caveat, which I really want to put in here, is I do not have a lot of background knowledge about that situation. I've heard bits and pieces, one of them being that there was like a time frame, a waiting period that had to happen. I don't know if that's accurate. I don't know a lot of the information, so I feel like I'd be speaking out of school a little bit by getting too deep into it. But I would certainly say that Cindy, again, and Nancy Becker, are the two that if they can help, it's something they can help with, then I know they'd be more than happy to do that. Depending on exactly where the council is with that situation. I just don't know the detail.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, next hand.
Diane Harms. Go ahead, Diane.
Hello. Hi, Scott. What Roger was talking about would be kind of like if a sighted person, let's say you're watching a game and, you know, the broadcaster is just going on and on and on. And so if they muted the so a sighted person mutes the audio so that they can just watch the video. I don't know how you would do that, but that's kind of like what Roger's talking about. Yeah, I don't know how that would
work. Yeah, and some people, some people do the whole, if sighted people will do this, I know, if they don't like the TV people, but they like their, for example, their school or their team's radio announcers or whatever, right? They'll have the radio on and they'll have the TV on muted, and they can, and do it that way. But that's right. A totally different experience than what, than really what we're talking about. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'll have to go to Carl Richardson or one of these other, audio description pros on this and see sort of what would that be like. And the other problem or challenge, I'm going to call it a challenge, that we run into, of course, are delays. And
right.
So sometimes, right, you have something happen. Now, anyway, I won't go too deep into the scenario, but I truly don't know how it would be done. And,
yeah.
and with the live events, it's very challenging, right? With a movie or a TV show or a series or something, it's different because you have the finished product, you can do the audio description when the dialogue's not happening. But with a live event, you're going to experience that sort of talking over interaction because the action is happening while people are talking. And so the audio description has to sort of talk at the same time. So I just don't know.
And then a lot of times too, with the sporting events, you can sync up, the radio with the TV so that they're,
One of the things we're working on, one of the things we are looking at though, for example, with the NFL would be what the Washington Nationals and some other teams have done now, which is real time, which means different things to different people, I've realized. But no delay is what I'll call it. No delay broadcasting in the stadium itself. So being able to have a, you know, get a headset or whatever it might be from the from a kiosk there, or some of them, I think you can even do it on your own, your phone or whatever, but have that no delay so that you're listening to what's happening, what's being broadcast when it's happening, and you don't have a 7, 10, 15 or 20 second delay. So,
oh, that's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's nothing much worse than, you know, everybody else is cheering and you're just now hearing what happened.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And you can barely hear it because of the cheering, and it's frustrating. So,
all right. Well, thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Next hand. Oh, go ahead.
Guillermo has his hand up. Go ahead, Guillermo. You're unmuted.
Okay. Scott, I personally wanted to thank you for taking time out of your day to attend. And I thank you for giving me a call last week after a very tense call at work.
It was my pleasure.
So, you know, the reality of things like homelessness and food insecurity is yeah. something that's really big around the country. And in the state, we do have our housing committee that is trying to come up with solutions to help with this issue. I'm glad that we're doing a lot of this advocacy for all of the major stuff that we've been pushing. But I would really suggest that we take a look at the equitable housing across the country for us, you know, because it's a big can of worms as far as that goes. And I'm not even sure where to begin, but I know that a lot of the times I used to be big in sort of the housing sphere in here in LA, because I very intimately have known people in different housing agencies. But I feel like with the times things have changed, and with the regulations, I'm out of my league.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if maybe that's not something that we can focus on, because, you know, it's a necessary item that we need to cover.
Let me ask you, if you don't mind, just to clarify this for me, Guillermo, are you talking about, for example, like people being denied housing because of being blind or with low vision, or something not being accessible around a property, or are you talking about like the number of individuals who are homeless, who are blind or with low vision? Like, what is it? What?
All of the above, really.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of homeless blind homeless blind individuals who may not have the resource and may not know what is what their rights are. So I think we need to really focus on that type of thing.
Well,
for us.
I think it's a good idea, and it's something that I can talk to Claire about and others about. It gets into an area that's very tricky for us, and certainly not to say that it's not important or that it's whatever, but it is a bit of a tricky area, because we look at our mission, which of course covers, I mean, you pretty much tell me any issue in society and I can make it fit into our mission if I needed to, right? I mean, that this reality, when we talk about independence, security, quality of life, equality of opportunity, right? All of those things could relate to housing. It could relate to food. It could relate to transportation. It relates to all these things. But how do, you know, where do you start? I think making sure that when there is housing legislation or there's legislation related to something else, that that we do our best to ensure that there's either, you know, a reminder in that document, that legislation, or something else that talks about the needs. I was actually listening to an article the other day, not to bore everyone, but I was listening to an article about the new homelessness, or the new homeless group of people are working individuals. So people who have full-time jobs,
yeah, yeah,
and are homeless because of housing prices. You know, the cost of housing has gone up so dramatically. It has outpaced wages. I believe they said 325% over the past three decades. And so, you know, you're looking at people who are working jobs who are living in their cars and other things. So there's it's such a big issue that maybe we can talk offline a little bit more about it and get with Claire and see what we might be able to brainstorm about that.
Oh, most definitely. I'm willing to do that.
Yeah.
It's been something that,
yeah,
I've been sort of trying to figure out how to frame this issue,
yeah,
in a way that would make sense to ACB.
Yeah.
And I think our housing committee has been trying to do similarly. So I'm really glad that you're open to
it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm absolutely happy to talk about it.
Great. Thank you again for coming.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Well, Scott, we got you started early and we kept you late, so I appreciate that. But
No worries. It's been an honor.
I hope you're going to someplace fun. Thanks for
we're going to a play for one of our family members. She's a senior in high school. It's her last play here today in a matinee. So we're going to that in Raleigh and then driving up to Alexandria. So I'll be in the office this week and catching up on a bunch of stuff from last week. That's for sure. So
thank you so much. What's the play?
The play is a twist on Oliver Twist.
So a twist on Oliver. Okay.
It's an Oliver Twist. Yes.
All right. Okay.
So looking forward to
enjoy
being
it.
Back with you guys.
Great. Enjoy it. And we will see you in Dallas, some of us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Looking forward to that, too. All right.
Definitely
take care.
Be there. All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Scott Thornhill, Executive Director of ACB. Okay, we're going to shift our focus from the national to the state in just a minute, but hey, let's do a door prize or two. I caught Lisa off guard. I'm sorry.
No. I'm here. I just couldn't get that mute button. Okay, so let's do... Oh, hold on a second here. My computer needs to wake up. All right, so $25 Amazon gift card from the San Francisco chapter. And the winner is Stephanie Jones. Congratulations, Stephanie.
All right. Do one more.
Oh, okay. We're going to do a $25 Target card from Contra Costa chapter. And the winner's Roger Peterson. Congratulations, Roger.
All right. Fantastic.